Tinned fish, as one example, is having a moment right now. It's a really rapidly growing category. And as you look on TikTok for that, you will see no shortage of various tinned fish videos and how people are using them and integrating them into their meals. So then, consumers see that and say, hey, that looks pretty interesting. I want to try that too.
Welcome to Insightful Connections with Seb. Every week, we bring you the leading voices in market research, including client-side executives, top agency leaders, AI founders, and more. This is where you hear directly from the people driving change, so you can stay sharp and stay ahead. Our episode starts now.
You're listening to the Insightful Connections podcast. Our guest today is Raina Rusnak. Raina is head of consumer insights at Starkist Co., a socially responsible company dedicated to providing nourishing, convenient protein products to consumers across the U.S. In her role, Raina drives product sensory research, brand health analysis, and the development of innovative flavors. With her expertise in consumer behavior, she helps shape strategic decisions that enhance Starkist's product offerings and consumer experiences. Previously, Raina served as Director of Consumer Insights for Ahold Delhaize USA, overseeing insights for five distinct brands. Her career spans both client and supplier-side roles, giving her a well-rounded perspective on leveraging data to craft consumer-driven strategies. Raina is the author of Sampling Life, 100 Ways to Find Joy in Unemployment. Having lived through a long period of unemployment, Raina offers perspective on how to stay positive through a challenging time. Raina, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I like to start with this sort of context-setting question for all of our guests, and that is, how did you find yourself in market research, and how does that origin story kind of help account for where you've come in the years since?
Quite by accident. And I feel like a lot of us start that exact same way where we stumble into it. And my story is no different from that. I was shortly out of college and I thought, I like research. And so I started applying to any job that had research in the title, irrespective of whether or not I was qualified for it. I was coming from the world of financial services and I landed with a supplier side company that specialized in financial services as their subject matter expertise. They invited me in for an interview and they start talking about focus groups. And I said, what's a focus group? So just to showcase how little knowledge I had about what I had raised my hand to do. And the thinking was, you understand the products and services that we are researching, and we can train you in the proper research methodologies. So that's exactly what happened. And I found that because I lead with curiosity and I lead with empathy, that this was my carved out role that I stumbled into and ended up being a great fit.
Wow. So how did that sort of evolution from an early financial services focus to where you are now in sort of a more CPG area, how did that play out and what ultimately drew you to the space that you're in now?
It is so much fun being on the brand side. When you're on the supplier side, you have a lot of different clients and you have a broad perspective. But being tied to a brand, and especially one that I've grown up with and that I could really rally around, it's a lot of fun because you're tied to the strategy of the company. Whereas when you're on the supplier side, you're doing the foundational research for them, but then you don't have a seat at the table to be able to direct what are our next steps as a business to grow. So it's just so much fun to be here and to think it's a narrow category, but there's no shortage of research to do. It's a lot of fun.
So I wanted to circle back on a point from your intro. We introed you with Starkist provides nourishing, convenient protein products to consumers across the U.S. For the benefit of our audience, when we talk about protein products from Starkist's perspective, what kinds of products are we talking about?
Yeah. So I would say, most people will automatically think tuna and canned tuna at that, right? That's what we grew up on. But Starkist has expanded into other proteins. So we also offer salmon, chicken, and a little bit of beef as well. So we've got your protein needs covered.
Nice. Coming back to sort of some of that strategy aspect that, you touched on earlier, you've highlighted nourishing and convenient as two of sort of the key characteristics, that we led with in the introduction. In Starkist's offering to consumers, why those two?
Well, in talking with consumers, we know that something that's nourishing, something that is packed with protein and low in calories and high in omega-3s, so offering a nourishment to people. We know that that's important. So that's something that becomes clear in our communication. So, you know, people, they're looking for 20 grams of protein. We can deliver that in few calories, which satiates you for a long time. So that's in talking with our consumers, we know that that's what's important to them. But the other thing is convenience. So if you asked me 2 years ago, before I had any inkling of this role, what I would have thought of tuna, the shelf-stable tuna industry, I would have told you can. I had no idea that we were in pouch. And there is a little bit of disconnect with consumers. Some of our people have been doing this for years, and they've got it. They know that we offer pouch. A lot do not. They still think of that tuna that you grew up with. So when we think about convenience, it is in the pouch where you can tear it open and you can eat it anywhere you are. One example, how I personally use it, I'll be at the gym, I'll step outside for a quick pouch of tuna, and then that fuels my workout to be able to continue for another length of time. And we're seeing that on-the-go convenience that people are looking for.
I personally carry a can opener everywhere I go.
And drain the tuna.
Yeah, exactly. Just at the gym, you know, draining it into the water fountain. Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, but just sort of as somebody on the sidelines who's not, you know, professionally in the space, aside from, you know, my role as an eater of food, it seems like protein is kind of the hot macronutrient at the moment, right? Is that what you guys are seeing? And what does your research say about, you know, what's been driving this? I think there was a term used for your IAEX talk. I don't know if it came from Green Book or came from you, but the protein wave, right? What are some of the drivers? What are some of the contours of that sort of cultural moment? And how is StarKist tapping into them?
When we look to 2019, we saw that fewer than half of people placed high importance on protein. It's 48% that was seeking a high protein diet. And as we look back to results from last year, that skyrocketed to 61%. It's becoming far more important to people. It's becoming front and center. And even as we look to historic data with Instacart, they're seeing huge lifts of 40% in people who are actively seeking high protein foods. We see this happening. We see, you know, the searches are increasing, the need is there. But some of the things that are fueling it started with the pandemic, really, as people started, they're changing their eating patterns where they are now snacking a little bit more and they're grazing throughout the day. So that has led to a little bit more of a shift toward protein because you're eating just smaller quantities and you're looking at that. And that pattern has not really changed since we've come out on the other side of the pandemic. People are still, they've instilled that habit of snacking and then grazing throughout the day. So that's sticking. But inflationary pressures is another influence to the protein craze because protein satiates us for a far longer period of time. So your dollars can go a lot further at shelf if you're looking to save some money. And then the third thing that we're seeing that's influencing the rise in protein is social media, and particularly TikTok. So as influencers are going on and talking about whatever dish they're eating, it's tending toward the protein, which is thereby influencing the consumers. Tinned fish, as one example, is having a moment right now. It's a really rapidly growing category. And as you look on TikTok for that, you will see no shortage of various tinned fish videos and how people are using them and integrating them into their meals. So then, you know, consumers see that and say, hey, that looks pretty interesting. I want to try that too.
What are the generational dynamics of this sort of wave?
Gen Z is far more connected with TikTok than other generations. And in fact, Gen Z says, if it's not on TikTok, it's not real. That's not part of my universe. So any brand that's missing that link, that's not appearing on TikTok, is missing a big portion of the population, a big portion of their base. So yeah, so we're seeing with younger generations, but I mean, we do see it across generations, right? Gen Z is not the only generation leaning into TikTok, but that is far more their tool, their platform than other generations.
And what are some of the ways that StarKist has sort of tapped into this sort of emergent trend, if you will? I don't know if that's a term you like for this, but this sort of cultural movement towards protein and sort of the protein craze.
Yeah, I mean, this is right up our alley, right? I mean, this is what we do. We provide that lean protein at an affordable cost and in a variety of flavors. So, what we're leaning into is the convenience of the pouches that you can take anywhere, but it's also just it's the high protein, it's the low calorie, and it's we're providing that nourishment. So, we are seeking those opportunities. We are playing in the TikTok space and on social media. And we're also paying attention to where we are throughout the year. So, right now we just launched a campaign on back to routine. We know kids are going back to school, and now it's time to start thinking about lunches. And maybe a parent will think, hey, let me put a lunch kit, a lunch to go kit with my child, or maybe I'm going to take a pouch to work as I'm just thinking about more healthful choices.
Raina, just breaking the fourth wall for a sec. I had an idea for a question that I wanted to throw out to you, riffing on something that you threw out, but I wanted to make sure you're okay with it. So you mentioned Instacart data. I'm kind of
Yes.
curious, like, where does that sit in insights for you guys?
Instacart data is not something that we're actively paying attention
Okay.
to. It's as I was looking at the protein craze and attempting to explain what was happening and to paint the picture of what's happening out in the wild. That was data that I came across. So that's not something that we actively pay attention to on a daily basis, but it's something pretty cool to pay attention to.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can see how Instacart would have some like incredibly interesting first party data for, this category and really anyone who's, in the grocery space. So it's really just really interesting that you threw that out there. I'm always thinking of different data sources outside of, the box that we tend to play in and in, especially the supplier side of market research. And, when you threw out Instacart data, I was like, wow, that's so interesting. So, changing gears slightly, Raina, last year you released a book, Sampling Life. You described this book as a resource you were looking for ultimately, but never found during a lengthy bout of employment that you yourself experienced. And the idea was a resource to help keep you positive during that time. I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit more about that journey and the journey of writing that book and how that informs the way you show up today.
Yeah, what I found is that unemployment is very much a roller coaster ride, and it's not for the faint of heart. I was talking to a number of people every week, and people would consistently say to me, I almost canceled our meeting, and I'm so glad I didn't. And that they would go on to explain how they were feeling so depressed, but then I uplifted them. And I started to see that theme and realized some of this is coming from the perspective that I'm sharing with them, where I was leaning into the strengths that we had. So yes, the negatives, which we can dwell on, we have no money coming in, and that financial pressure is very real. But what we do have during unemployment is time. We are time rich, and it's easy to lose focus on that when you have your mortgage payments not going to stop just because you don't have money coming in. So that's very real. But to leverage the time in a way that you haven't had before, you haven't had the time, you haven't had the brain space or the emotional ability to lean into some other things. And so, if you are looking to run a marathon and you just haven't had the time to train, now that's free to train for. I mean, get a pair of good pair of running shoes, so maybe not free, but low cost, and get out there and start setting those milestones. If you want to clean out your garage and it's been overflowing with things that have accumulated over the years, now is your chance to do it. And what I started to realize was that by applying myself to all of these things in my life, and running a marathon, by the way, is not one of them. That's not one of my life goals. But getting your life in order, staying physically fit, and doing things, connecting with people, these were all so intrinsically rewarding to me. And I found that it was also similarly rewarding to other people. So by sharing that and by packaging a group of ideas for people to lean into, it's really powerful during that time of need.
What's your biggest piece of advice for people navigating unemployment?
So the thing that really kept me positive, and I had to sometimes look myself in the eye in the mirror and just remind myself, this is temporary. So there will be days where you feel like I will never work again. And other days you'll feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have four competing offers. And then you go right back to, I'm never going to work again. Looking yourself in the mirror and reminding yourself, this is temporary. That was something that was very helpful for me. Another thing is feel your feelings. A lot of people try to push down your feelings or compartmentalize, but if you sit with the bad feelings and just let it happen, it will leave your system a lot quicker. So you'll be able to move on past it. Take the day on the couch with a bag of Cheetos and binge watch TV if you need to, but then know that it will wash over you. And then the third piece of advice I have is really maximize your time. You are time rich right now, and make the most of that, because as soon as you start working again, all of that goes out the window, and you're just trying to figure out, well, how am I going to get dinner on the table tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, maybe take the day on the couch with the bag of fish or, something from Starkist.
Tear open a tuna pouch on the
It's
couch.
in pouch. It's in pouch. So I wanted to ask you, one more question on this topic, which is, how does having lived through this experience influence how you show up today, now on the other side of it?
It's a reminder to stay positive and to look at the positive. Life is one big logic puzzle. And sure, you can focus on the negatives and you could be down about it, or you could just pause and say, okay, that's a new piece of information. How do I now navigate this complexity? And so kind of pausing and keeping some of the emotion at bay, and then just approaching it as a curious logic puzzle, just quick reframing and tweaking of how you look at it will help to keep you happier during this really challenging time.
Last question for me, Raina. What keeps you motivated?
Learning new things and experiencing new things. And that's part of where sampling life comes from. I used to be in Toastmasters, and for your very first speech to your club, you are encouraged to talk about yourself and to introduce yourself to the club. And the title of my speech was Sampling Life. So this is where it comes from. And with the notion being that I personally find greater happiness in trying a little bit of a lot of things rather than diving deep into just one area. So an Olympian I will never be, but let me try 35 different sports and just a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of experience from all of them. And that's what excites me. So it's the trying new experiences and the learning that comes along with it that motivates and inspires me.
Raina, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.